Hello, welcome to Foreign Matters on Hot Fuzz and Communism. What do John Stuart Mill, Confucius, Marx, human rights, and the film Hot Fuzz have in common? Well, when it comes to China, the answer is the ideas they throw up, which collide, and in the resulting smash, we see emerging communism with Chinese characteristics. These characteristics in this phrase appears to be cover for the Chinese Communist Party to maintain control, pretend it's still communist, whilst at the same time managing the transition from a command economy to rampant capitalism in a country of 1.3 billion people. Capitalism and democracy, of course, are different things. Democracy requires far higher standards of human rights and liberty than does capitalism. In China, democracy is sacrificed on the altar of profit and stability and the memory of communism. Now, critics say this results in widespread torture, suppression of dissent and religious freedom, and events such as Tiananmen Square. And when you're dealing with 1.3 billion people, you're dealing with a lot of suppression. The Chinese leadership, understandably, obsesses about stability or collective harmony, as they would put it. They fear that if the party gives too many individual freedoms, too quickly, not only might they lose their grip on power, but it will result in chaos, possibly leading to famine. This belief is partially rooted in Marxism, partially in Confucianism, but it perhaps surprisingly dovetails with the great British philosopher John Stuart Mill, who, despite being a proponent of individual rights, argued that they should result in the greater good for the greatest number of people. Which brings us to the film comedy Hot Fuzz, in which top London cop Simon Pegg arrives in a sleepy village only to discover that the local council is busy murdering individuals who are disturbing the collective harmony. This is justified in the key scene towards the end, as council members chant hypnotically that it is for the greater good. The greater good. And that brings us back to China. The leadership makes the argument that Western-inspired ideas about individual rights do not apply to China, as they don't take into account the subtleties of ruling such a massive population in a different culture. For them, achieving higher education levels, better life expectancy, and better quality of life, which in turn leads to continued stability, is far more important than the individual. Now, it's easy to come back with charges of hypocrisy based on the deep levels of corruption within the Communist Party, especially at local level, and to argue that individual rights are a universal value. If you were to ask an exiled victim of torture if he or she felt that Eastern values meant it was okay to pull out their fingernails, it's doubtful they'd agree. Of course, visiting politicians from the West will always mention human rights to their hosts, despite knowing it irritates them, but they'll never persuade the party leaders to introduce Western-style democracy. This is not an argument for or against the Chinese system, simply an explanation of why they say and do what they do and say. And the masses? Well, they aren't often asked for their opinions in China. Anecdotal evidence suggests many are enjoying the relative prosperity of the past decade and they look forward to the future. Other anecdotal evidence suggests large sections of the population are seething at local corruption and brutality. What they want is an independent judiciary to keep them safe, and a media which highlights wrongdoing. One person, one vote at a national level, this is not something high on their agenda. The Chinese answer will probably be to slowly move against corruption, especially where it interferes with productivity, reform politics at a snail's pace, allow increased media and judicial freedoms over a period of decades, and manage their characteristics in their own way. All the Western powers and their systems, based on individuality, can do is shine a spotlight on abuse from a distance. The Chinese are approaching where the British were at the height of their imperial power. They will not be lectured by anyone. That's Foreign Matters. See you next time.